What's going on, everybody? My name is Eddie Greer here, and you know what time it is. It is time, once again, for the EG3 show, where it's all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, NASCAR Capable Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. You know the theme right here on the EG3 show. But if it's the first time listening to the podcast this season, that's what we're all about here, folks. The NASCAR Cup Series trucks and, of course, the Xfinity Series, all taking center stage this weekend in Atlanta, Peach State, Georgia, Hampton, Georgia, the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Weekend is finally upon us, coming off some thrilling finishes at Daytona. We got it all right here, folks. Getting you set for Atlanta weekend. All three divisions are in play once again. It's very rare during the NASCAR season that you see all three divisions race at during the same weekend. Of course, late in the season, you'll see it, especially in the last three weekends with Texas, Phoenix, and of course, championship weekend in Homestead, Florida. But here, Atlanta, coming off, once again, like I said, off a big weekend last week, and now we get down to the nitty-gritty of things here. And Sue's going to be a factor throughout the regular season and try to get some wins and get yourself in position to make the postseason. You already have basically three guys already locked their tickets to the playoffs. That's Johnny Sauter, Tyler Reddick, and of course Austin Dillon, the Daytona 500 champ from last week. Will we see some others cashing their ticket here this weekend? Of course, double dip with the Capable Truck Series with the afternoon cap, which really should be the night cap, and then you have the Xfinity Series, which is on track currently right now during with their practice sessions right now down in Georgia right now as I'm recording this podcast on February 23rd, 2018. Yes, Xfinity cars are currently on track. I'll pull that up here momentarily. But everything else going on, a lot of controversy stuff and a rivalry already in place in the Cup Series. It's been taken a little further. I'm going to get to that here also later on in the episode. But I want to start off with the guys that will be on track first tomorrow. Actually going to start with the Capable Truck Series as they'll be racing at 3 o'clock Central Time down in Atlanta tomorrow afternoon. The late to wrap up the doubleheader with the Xfinity Series. It's going to be racing a couple hours earlier than that. But yes, some news coming right out of the Capable Truck Series earlier this week. You had the number 41 truck of Ben Rhodes, teammate to Matt Crafton. Ben Rhodes, who finished third at Daytona last Friday night. Him and his team were penalized right off the bat after the race for not matching up the height measurements on that truck. And that means, guess what? But at least we won't hear the word encumbered anymore. That word has been thrown in the garbage can. We don't have to hear that dreaded word anymore. But the rule kind of remains the same. Basically, you don't pass tech, you're going to get the hammer, drop the hammer on you. And Eddie Tokonas, the crew chief for this truck, has been suspended for this week's race, which is tomorrow afternoon, late afternoon, evening-ish, down in Hampton, Georgia. And not only that, he gets the hit with $5,000. And not only that, Ben Rhodes loses 10 points, driver points. And not only that, Thor Sport loses 10 owner points at that. So already we have a team getting dropped the hammer a little bit after the trial. And we've seen this a lot last year, even with the dreaded E word. We've seen big time crew chiefs get suspended, not passing measurements or whatever it is. And then, of course, we all know what happened with Joey Logano and his situation, winning Richmond, and then his win getting thrown in the garbage because of not passing tech, which cost him a chance to race for a championship, and not only that, but probably to get himself in a chance for another appearance in the Final Four in Homestead. That did not happen. And already out of the gate, after the first wave, we have already somebody in trouble, and that's Ben Rhodes. And actually, I said third, he finished fourth last week at Daytona, and loses costly 10 points with that. So there is that. And heading into this week with Atlanta, Johnny Sauter is your points leader by plus 19 over GMS teammate Justin Haley. And then you have Grant Enfinger sitting there in the third spot heading into this week's showdown at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Last year, we saw Christopher Bell almost lead over 100 laps. Of course, Christopher Bell, as we all know by now, for those of you who do not know, Christopher Bell won the championship in the Truck Series a year ago, got promoted, graduated to Joe Gibbs Racing in the Xfinity Series, where he was fastest in the first practice earlier today. Now he's going to get his teeth cut in the Xfinity Series. I'm looking at him as one of the favorites in that Xfinity Series race tomorrow afternoon. And then you have no Bell, so that means Matt Crafton, who's been running awfully well in the last couple years at this track, along with, of course, Ben Rhodes and Johnny Sauter as well. So the points leader trying to go back-to-back, that's one of my favorites for tomorrow afternoon's race. And oh, by the way, the title of this race is the Active Pest Control 200, which will wrap up the doubleheader after the Xfinity Series, Renai 250, which is going to be first at 1 p.m. Central Time. Going off of Central Time because I live in the Midwest. Obviously, that's 2 p.m. East Coast. And you know the deal. Every time on the West Coast, you guys figure it out. For those of you living on the East Coast, listening to the podcast, EG3 Show, Atlanta Weekend Preview. My name is Eddie Greer, breaking it all down for you on this late Friday afternoon, a couple hours before Cup qualifying here. So I'm recording this before action begins with Cup qualifying here a little bit later on today. So there you go on that. And, of course, you got the dreaded Cup guys in this field. Of course, Kyle Busch in the Ford truck. And guess what that means? You don't want to hear it. And even I don't want to hear it. But Kyle Busch, every time he steps in these things, I've said this for the last 3.5 years on the podcast, he's going to come out here and try to dominate and try to learn, you know, of course, the quote-unquote learn something deal and try to win. But his main objective, you know what he's trying to do, win the freaking race. And Kyle Busch, you know it's going to happen. He's going to try to give this field hell. And then, of course, the Daytona 500 winner is going to cut loose in it as well. That is in the person of Austin Dillon. It's going to be in this field. So something to keep an eye on, these Cup guys. Austin Dillon was a little bit off in the Cup practice, in their only Cup practice earlier. So I'm going to touch on that again here when I get to the Monster Energy side of things. But for right now, the trucks, Kyle Busch, Austin Dillon, they're going to try to wreak havoc. And somebody I'm going to keep an eye on for this race tomorrow afternoon, and that, my X factor for this race, is Kyle Busch's employee, Noah Gregson. Of course, coming off of last year, getting that win, elusive victory at Martinsville last year, and the type of equipment he is in, I actually look for him to be right in this mix as well. Came on strong late, missed the playoffs, and then got the win, and then, of course, had an up and down evening at Daytona. Who else doesn't have an up and down evening at Daytona? But Gregson is someone to keep your eyes on in this race as well. For those of you who are interested in this race, that is going to be the Truck Series on track, the Active Pest Control 200 tomorrow afternoon on FS1, who always covers each race of the Truck Series. And again, that's the start time is supposed to be had a time on here. Says 3:30-ish Central Time. That's 4 o'clock, 4:30 Central Time. Whenever the last lap gets done, and then there's going to be like a 20-minute break in between races. They did it last year, so they shortened up the weekends a little bit. So the Truck Series will wrap up the Saturday action on track. So there you have some updates on that. Now kind of moving on forward to the Xfinity Series, and I'm going to cut loose with some practice updates right here, right now. Final practice has just kicked it off, and I might be diving in and out of this practice session as we move along on this podcast. John Hunter Nemechek is going to be driving the 42 Camaro this weekend for Ganassi Racing, is leading the final practice session for the Xfinity Series this weekend, and then followed by Christopher Bell, who won first practice earlier, who was fast right out of the gate. Cole Custer third, Ty Dillon is fourth, Brandon Jones is fifth, Matt Tiff sixth, Tyler Reddick, your points leader in the series, seventh, followed by Austin Cindric driving the 12 for Penske this weekend, Ryan Reed ninth, and Kyle Benjamin, this is the name that was also floated around last year. We saw him last year, but right now he is 10th on the board in the practice, the final practice for the Xfinity Series. And I keep mentioning, the Xfinity Series ramps up activity, racing activity, beginning tomorrow at 2 p.m. on, I believe, FS1 as well. I'm not sure about that, but you can check the website for more details on when to look for it. But continuing the Xfinity preview, of course, coming off of last week, the closest finish ever history to in the NASCAR in the modern era between teammates, Junior Motorsports teammates. You're listening to the EG3 show. Once again, my name is Eddie Greer, breaking it all down here for you here this afternoon as we approach racing, kicking off week number 2 of the 2018 campaign. We saw Reddick, Salah go at it after it on racetrack, ending in a mere tie. Inches, Tyler Reddick in his first race with Junior Motorsports, Dale Earnhardt Junior Motorsports, and Reddick gets it done, and Tyler Reddick continues to win in the series. Of course, Tyler, going back to last year with Ganassi, won one of the playoff races. Even though he wasn't a playoff driver, he is going to be a playoff driver this year. So that's one of the differences is in that. Tyler Reddick continues to come out here and win races in the Xfinity Series. And once again, Elliott Salah was heartbroken after this finish. So what does a veteran, a grandpa of the series, got to do to get a win in the series? I don't know. As consistent as Salah has been in this particular series, he should have at least got a championship by now. But the history hasn't shown it, with waiting to the very last event and then having an opportunity to win like he did last year, then runs into another youth member of this impressive bunch that's youth movement that's coming up through the Xfinity ranks into the Cup Series or to the Trucks to the Xfinity Series. So Junior Motorsports has a good problem to have if you're Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's in Pyeongchang right now doing some Olympic coverage for the rest of the week. But other than that, it was great finish, and not only that, you had the 5 overtimes as well. That is the most seen yet, and I had to make sure it was right, and they did away with the stupid line stuff coming to 1 lap ago or something like that, and now you have the unlimited rule. You can try it again until it crosses the white flag. That's where if the driver doesn't cross the white flag line, you do it all over again. That's where you saw all those wrecks last week. But now you turn over to a different story, to a old school abrasive racetrack in Atlanta, where you have to save some of your tires. And this is almost pretty much like a Darlington-ish type of track now. And this is probably if I'm correct, going to be, I thought last year was going to be the last race on this old surface. A lot of drivers love this place because of the surface. They can move around a lot, low, middle, high, even going even further all the way up against the wall, pretty much from low to high. You can pretty much pass anywhere you want on this racetrack. And I believe after this weekend, I believe they might be repaving this as well. So I hate to see this repaved. All the great races we saw, especially in the 90s, going down to the wire, especially in the Cup Series, that you can run low, run middle. You get every mile and a half has its own characteristics. Pretty much, almost, really, to me, in my opinion, has the same thing. Now, some, like, other than Texas, where it got repaved, and it can only pass really on the bottom side, and Kentucky also got repaved as well. We saw how that works out. Nobody loves repaves because basically you have nowhere to go but low, only one lane, and maybe sometimes a little bit, even a bit further up than that. But other than that, you're not going to get passing on the high side very often. Atlanta provides that, and we're going to see just that. Eats up tires pretty good. And that's where we're going to see some great racing, hopefully, again, this weekend, beginning tomorrow. So, a lot going on once again. And, of course, I mentioned Tyler Reddick, your points leader in the Xfinity Series by +9 over teammate Sadler. And then Spencer Gallagher is currently third at the moment. We know how these things go. We've seen, you know, no-name drivers that we don't simply call out each and every week, and then they drop out a little bit further into the standings. So Spencer Gallagher is one of those guys that had a great run at Daytona. We're going to see what he does in Atlanta. You know, Daytona is a drop, basically a wrap it out of a hat and see who makes it out alive and who gets caught up in the carnage of these plate races. And now we're getting to the point of the season now, or early in the season now, we're going to start finding out who's going to be some players, because these are players in these divisions, the Trucks, Xfinity, and the Cup Series here this weekend. We'll find out these questions will be answered a little bit here, even though Atlanta is more different than Vegas, which everybody will go to again, I believe, next weekend. That's Vegas, as Vegas has the second Cup date, which is a playoff race. Very excited about that. So, great racing in store once again, and some drivers to keep an eye on. And first, you're going to see some Cup guys in this Xfinity Series race, which features Ty Dillon, Joey Logano, and Kevin Harvick, who's driving the 98 this weekend. Those guys keep an eye on. Harvick has won in this division. And Harvick, I'm going to touch on him on the Cup side here in a little bit. Logano, Ty Dillon, and then the eye test, who I'm going to keep an eye on as Xfinity regulars. Again, that name, Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell won at Kansas last year in the playoff race, taking down a Cup guy, Eric Jones, with a slide job. I've said this multiple counts on this podcast, Christopher Bell with the slide job, and this right here, you know, Christopher Bell's off season. He had a terrific off season, win the Chili Bowl and taking down Kyle Larson and doing that as well. So Christopher Bell is not afraid to move his car around, especially on old surfaces like this, Atlanta. He said after his wreck, getting involved in one of the early wrecks last week, but he was looking forward to this place. And Christopher Bell, probably one of the Xfinity favorites, if not the favorite, here again, mentioning Elliott Sadler again, having to deal with these guys, try to win a championship. I know it's too early to talk about championship, whatever, but again, if that is the case, he's going to have to deal with this young stud and Christopher Bell. I think he's going to be a factor. And also, I mentioned in that practice session that's going on right now, Cole Custer, who was third right now. Cole Custer whipped the field the last time the Xfinity Series was on a mile and a half track, a whopping over 100 laps, put the field to sleep on his way to his first career Xfinity Series win back in November in that season finale in the Xfinity Series a few months ago. And he put a whipping on this field. I'm going to keep an eye on him. Cole Custer, he was one of those guys that I raved upon in the second half of the season. And I look for him to do big things tomorrow afternoon as well for driver Stuart Haas Racing in that Xfinity Series. And Cole Custer, let's not forget about him either. If he can continue that success, he's going to have a good chance here to make some noise and probably try to go deep in the postseason. But it's, again, once again, it's too little too early to talk about that. But Cole Custer was very impressive in that, really came alive in that race right there. I was very impressed with what he did at Miami. Miami, Atlanta, a little bit similar in that, except probably I would say Atlanta, like I've said a couple times on the episode now, is the oldest track service that we got right now. And that's even older than Darlington, because Darlington was reported paved several years ago. And look, it's almost back to the way it is. So, a lot of activity. The Rinnai 250 kicks off the doubleheader tomorrow afternoon at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And can Xfinity drivers make it 2-for-2? I mean, we saw last year that Cup guys were winning races. We did not see a lot of Xfinity Series winners weekly. So now with Tyler Reddick winning last week, we see Xfinity drivers go 2-for-2, find out tomorrow night, and they got a good chance. Now, one of those drivers is Christopher Bell, having a solid chance, and then an upset probably will be John Hunter Nemechek driving at 42. This is going to be his first race in the Xfinity Series. So, and then let's keep an eye on some of these young guns down here, going down the list here real quick. I mentioned Kyle Benjamin. Again, practice is going on right now. Austin Cindric back after wrecking out at Daytona last week. Spencer Gallagher is currently 12th right now. And then Chase Briscoe's turn to drive the 60 forward for Ross Chandler Racing the Xfinity Series this week after Cindric couldn't escape from one of those wrecks. We're going to be seeing him. Daniel Hemric trying to bounce back. Got Cass Grawler returning. Ryan Truex had a great run last week. He's sitting 20th right now in final practice. And I believe that's it for there for now. So, yep, we have a great opportunity to see Xfinity drivers go 2-for-2. Unless John Hunter Nemechek has something to do with it. But, yep, definitely. You know, Harvick is the 11th. I saw Logano in there somewhere who is 14th right now in the final practice session. So, Xfinity can go 2-for-2 here with these rules of not seeing these Cup guys each and every week trying to ruin these races. We want to see these young guys battle it out, and I believe we might see that go down, especially go down to the wire tomorrow afternoon. EG3 show about to take an intermission right now, and when we come back to the EG3 show, we're going to be talking the Cup Series, getting you ready for that as well, and a driver not liking the young generation. I'm going to get in touch on that when we return. You're currently listening to the EG3 show. We'll be back right after this. G3 Show, rolling out of the garage, right after the intermission, right here with me, Eddie Greer III, your host of the EG3 Show, which is the latest in all of NASCAR, Camping World, Xfinity, Monster Energy, three biggest divisions, all of motorsports. Get you set for the Atlanta weekend, going to go down starting tomorrow afternoon, again with a double header in the afternoon with the Xfinity Series race, the Renai 250, followed by the Active Pest Control 200 on FS1 with the trucks, wrapping up Saturday's big day. And then Sunday, of course, the Cup race going to go down with the Cup guys coming off the Daytona 500, the Folds of Honors Quick Trip 500, Sunday afternoon at, looks like it's 1 Central Time. I'm living in the Midwest, which means on the east side, 2 p.m. Atlanta. We're going to see some, quote-unquote, like we used to say it, real racing. I know Daytona is the lottery racing there, but we're now going to start seeing Atlantis on the beginning. We're going to start seeing some of these guys who can be consistent and all that. Get some of our questions answered about who got to jump on this on the Chevy side, the new nose with the Camaro, who's going to get do that. Also, can Toyota continue to roll along on these things, or has Ford with the oldest nose yet? So a lot of these questions going to start answering that we've been thinking about the last 3 months, including after what we saw at Daytona with the new different race package a little bit and whatnot. But these guys, basically, with the different rules, of course, with the different race inspection, the Hawkeye test, has the field been set on an even playing field? That's what it comes down to now with these types of races. We're going to find out on Sunday, that is for sure. And now we're going to look at the Monster Energy side of things. And before we dive a little deeper into that, of course, I did a special segment yesterday, which I'm going to start doing weekly as I introduce from Pit Road, which is I'm going to take a look at all, hopefully throughout the year, all the NASCAR organizations who are competing in the three highest levels of the sport. I did a piece on Richard Childress Racing, who just coming off a emotional, thrilling Daytona 500 win via Austin Dillon. Check that out. I posted it yesterday on Audioboom. Check it out. Also, you can check out the entire podcast on Audioboom, Spotify, SoundCloud. And again, I keep mentioning the last several weeks, want to get another podcast post on there as well. So we're still working on that. But right now, we got Audioboom, Spotify, SoundCloud. We got you covered on NASCAR. Previews, recaps, special segments, got that going on. And if you're a current listener of the podcast for some time or been in and out, appreciate you. Spread the word as well. Tell your NASCAR friends or people who are just getting into it. If you're a listener, tell your buddies about this podcast. That would be helpful as well. Word of the mouth can get the word out there that there's other NASCAR podcasts out there besides the main ones, obviously, that are out there, like NASCAR NBC, Race Hub, does the actual show that turns into podcasts as well. And that's the only two that I know. And of course, MRN has their little podcast as well. But trying to get the word out, spread the word about the EG3 Show. Spread it out on the East Coast, spread out West Coast. Of course, right here on, I got a heavy, I've been looking at numbers here each and every week. I have a heavy listener set right here in the Midwest as well. And a special thank you to all of you guys who have been listening throughout the last 3 years. And start of this year with the EG3 Show. Spread the word. And my motto this year, join the movement. It's exciting, man. You don't want to miss the train. All right, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, also in Atlanta. Going back to last year a little bit. First with Brad Keselowski, your defending winner of the race last year, after Kevin Harvick absolutely dominated the field throughout the event on a cloudy afternoon. Came down to the final pit stop and the boys could not get it done. And Harvick tried to roar back. He did. He gave it a ride, but at the end, Penske Racing cashed in the bank on a mistake. Keselowski got his first win of the year last year. And then Larson was involved in that final finish as well, giving up a lead late to Keselowski late. And Kyle Larson was second in the opening practice session to Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. qualified fourth last year, and this is really not a surprise to me, actually. Stenhouse up there topping the charts in the morning practice session. So we'll see. You know, everyone talked about, you know, Stenhouse and what he did on plate tracks last year, but Stenhouse really started to step up on other tracks as well, this one included with Atlanta. So we got qualifying here in a couple of hours. We'll see what he does there and throughout the weekend. But Keselowski and then Harvick's been the man in Atlanta. Could not finish the job last year. He's going to try to come back and try to redeem himself from what happened. His team let him down a year ago. So this is obviously, I mentioned this in the first part of the episode, that this is everyone's favorite racetrack. Almost everybody's favorite racetrack. Or if it's not the favorite, it's one of their favorite racetracks to go on. And on the Cup Series side, we have seen some thrilling down-to-the-wire type finishes, down-to-the-buzzer type finishes that we have seen. And who knows, we can't rule out another good finish probably on Sunday. We'll see what happens when we get that far. Of course, out of the news, Austin Dillon obviously has been in the news. Well, because of his big win, Daytona 500, controversial win in the 500 last week. And he got to meet the guy who gave him the penny, the kid who gave him the penny this week. That was cool to see that as well. Austin's been busy, but like I said last week, this is what I said last week. This, and I'm going to read, I said it last week a little bit with the preview of with some of the highlights of Richard Childress Racing, and I'm going to say it again. Keep your eye on Austin Dillon, the top 500 winner, because here in the last several years, we've seen the 500 winner struggle mightily a little bit, or even that few weeks in Kurt Busch's case. We didn't really see him that much until later in the season, almost. So Kurt Busch had that spell, and now you're going to get, we'll see if Austin Dillon can shake the cobwebs after a glorious week for him. And see what he does. But yeah, he was 25th on the charts. Not very good. So I'm telling you now, all this, you know, Austin Dillon sticking his chest out a little too much this week. You know, he wants to do all this and that. And again, it goes back to what he said at Las Vegas in the awards week in Vegas, that it's championship for a bus. I've said this now probably 5 times in a row on the podcast, but hey, you know, he said it. I didn't say it. He said it. So, well, and that's kind of a little boastful if you ask me. And then he goes out and says, you know, I want to be the driver to win championships in all 3 divisions. He won in the trucks, a championship in the trucks that I somehow missed, and then obviously I know about him in the Xfinity Series winning championships there, and he's far outcry here in the Cup Series. Only 2 wins, you know. Everyone talks about the 600 last year, you know, the call that Alexander made to stay out and hold him off there with few mileage at the end, and then you turn around to last week at during Daytona 500 where he was a lap down and causing havoc with some of the lead cars late in that race, and got his lap back, and then escaped all the melees. And then, you know, Dillon, Almirola, y'all know what happened after that. Last lap for the win. Let's wreck somebody to win it. And now, that's what it comes down to. That's what it is now these days. You know, last lap, let's wreck race cars that cost money. Get yourself in the victory lane. And now that was that. So Austin, he's only got 2 wins to show for it, and they might be right at the buzzer wins, like I'm going to call them, things like that. But we have not seen the consistency from this 3. More so, I mean, Ryan Newman, in my opinion, has been more consistent than Austin Dillon has, since Newman has come over from Penske to Rich Race. And that's my opinion. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. I know he's going to be in a truck race tomorrow afternoon, but that's not a good start for the current Daytona 500 champion and obviously the recent winner, the only winner so far in the Cup Series. I'm telling you, keep an eye on that. We'll see. And then again, Austin Dillon making some more news that he's going to get the entire Richard Childress Racing Company rings. Yeah, that's going to take a lot out of your pay or out of your checking account. Your checking account's going to take a big hit. But he said it was all cool with that, whatnot. And I'm all for that as well. You know, it's not just one car that wins it, one team. It was everybody's interest to put the work in to the 500 car and reward your employees with that. So I'm cool with that. I'm on board with that as well. So Austin Dillon rewarding the employees of a job well done after putting the three back in victory lane at Daytona, which had everybody pretty much talking about that. So again, heavy hitters in the back. Yes, heavy hitters in the back. What I have on the rundown, and oh, by the way, you're still listening to the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greer the Third with you this afternoon during Xfinity Series practice, which still has John Hunter-Mechek leading the final practice session. So heavy hitters in the back, yes. So last week, Daytona, a lot of cars were out, including heavy hitters in the mix. Jimmy Johnson, Eric Jones, Casey Kane, Daniel Suarez, Keselowski was involved. Those guys, they're deep in the standings right now, and they're going to be coming from the back. And this is an opportunity with Atlanta to have the chance to get a nice points day, solid points day. And again, I'm going to use the key word stage. Points going to be key on Sunday, and we're going to see some aggressive racing as usual, but maybe not as aggressive we saw at Daytona, because Atlanta, we're going to see cars spread out way more different than we saw at Daytona. We're not going to see bold moves like we saw at the end of stage one last week. So these guys that I could just called out, like Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane, Daniel Suarez, Keselowski, the defending winner of this race from a year ago, Eric Jones, going to be looking for him to do something in that 20 this weekend. You're on a mile and a half. 20 has been pretty solid in recent years doing that. So it'll be interesting to see that as well. So those guys going to have some work, their work cut out for them here this weekend as we get started on the mile and a half track season. So we're in that mode now. And looking at the first practice speeds, I'm just going to name off the top 10. And I'm just going to go ahead and name off some notables as well. But yes, first, the top 10. Stenhouse, I mentioned. Kyle Larson. Darrell Wallace Jr. in the 43. Third after the first practice session. Again, I'm recording this just before qualifying here a little bit later on in the Cup Series down in Georgia. Ty Dillon, to me, is the surprise of the day. To me, Ty Dillon, fourth in that 13 Chevrolet Camaro. Alex Bowman sitting there in the fifth spot after the first practice. Denny Hamlin, a lot going around him. I'm going to get my thoughts on him momentarily. Kevin Harvick, William Byron. Byron was fast at the test at Vegas. I had that talk on the podcast here recently. That's in there. He finished 8th in the practice session. Joey Logano, 9th. And king of the mile and a half, Martin Truex Jr., was 10th in the practice session to kick off things on the Cup side of things. So there is that as well. And yes, all talk has been on Truex and what he did last year on mile and a half. And anxious to see what he does this weekend coming off. And oh, by the way, he was the Mobile One Driver Performance Award of the Week, passing some 278 passes cars on the racetrack. And that car might not handle the way it wanted, not the speed that it wanted, but that thing in the draft was getting by still some good cars And then he also had a chance to lead a little bit as well. So definitely, that's a war for something, right? Truex getting the Mobile One Performance Award for Daytona. That was great to see that. So, but now we're in Truex wheelhouse a little bit now. We're in Truex country where the Monavs, and he was good here last year. He was third at some point late in the race before he had some issue with the car. Late and still finished in the top 10 last year, but we'll see what he does this weekend. I'm anxious, really anxious to see after coming off Daytona. No, Daytona, Atlanta, Vegas, short tracks, Phoenix, California, they're all different style racetracks, but we'll see what they got for sure. This will tell us a sign if the 78 lost step or is right there in the mix with some of these guys that have or on top of the charts right now. You'll see the EG3 show. Eddie Greer in the house, getting you ready, set, go for the Atlanta weekend beginning tomorrow. And it all kicks off with qualifying later on here in another 2 hours. Now, backtracking a little bit to Bo Wallace. Bo Wallace finished second, and he eked out Denny Hamlin third last week, Daytona 500. And yes, I have not seen the Facebook feature, the bubble behind the wall with Bubba Wallace yet, but I will sit down here this weekend and binge watch that. I'm excited for it. Do not say, everyone says it's a good watch and you're gonna get tearful in the end. I'm very excited to see it. But Bubba Wallace been in the news, yes, a lot for good reason. So second, had a tremendous speed weeks. And Denny Hamlin, of course, finished third, but not without controversy, not on the racetrack, but with comments made. Of course, Denny Hamlin had some out-of-all comments or whatever he said early in the week. And then Bubba said during the post-race, during his post-race with Fox, that Denny Hamlin had to do something with out-of-all or whatever the comments were. And Denny Hamlin basically took offense by that, and afterwards they had words after Hamlin was done with his press conference. He didn't even sit with Wallace. Usually you have the second place and third place drivers sit together in the post-race press conference, right? That wasn't the case here. In this instance, Denny Hamlin decided to take either that or was set up to have Bubba Wallace by himself. I don't know, but usually you have the second, third place guys together. And then, of course, you have the winner and the crew chief and the winning car owner will have their own press conference. So I'm surprised by this, even with this anyway, because these two were supposed to be together and somehow Denny Hamlin didn't want him there or whatever it is, wherever Denny Hamlin's issue was. And Hamlin had words with Bubba after when they saw each other, and it just really the situation has kind of spilled on from there. Read earlier this morning during my little 5-minute break or whatever you want to call it, 5-minute break from my route, that Denny Hamlin cut off Bubba from his top golf team and also his basketball league team. So I am really trying real hard right here not to get myself in trouble. But here's the thing. I think Denny Hamlin, I'm going to be straight up honest with you, is a freaking coward. For his actions are cowardly right now. And that's how I'm going to put it right now. Because this is how he looks. That is how he looks. He looks like a... I'm not even going to go. He looks like he... I don't know what he's doing, but I'm not going to state the obvious. You know where I'm going to go with this here. And I mean, here you're going to be racing together each and every week pretty much, and you're going to be seeing each other. There's no, you can't avoid them, not this. But this is not the first time Denny Hamlin has stepped overboard, and this goes back to last year with Chase Elliott. Denny Hamlin has clearly have a problem with the new generation of the young drivers that come up in the sport. I do want to tell you that right now. I tweeted this out last week that Denny Hamlin has a problem with the new youth that's coming up. And I saw this comment worded differently again an hour ago before I recorded before I jumped on air with you guys here today that it's a clear problem because Denny Hamlin, we all know he did the Chase Elliott last year in the playoffs, and they carried over. Denny Hamlin has underperformed. He's a championship contender each and every year, but yet somehow, you know, either chokes it away or has a different agenda for these drivers. One of them, Chase Elliott, we saw what happened there. And at Phoenix, Denny Hamlin had the dominant car by far at Phoenix, and Chase Elliott didn't take it lightly. And we all know what happened there. Chase Elliott got his revenge on Denny Hamlin, and Denny Hamlin said he vowed to continue to race Chase Elliott hard during Las Vegas week. Okay, so there's that. And now you have this, where Denny Hamlin, again, you know, he was offended by the comments. But what Bubba said, or I didn't think it was their finish, but yet I didn't know what Denny was talking about in the first place anyway. So what do I know? But what I do know is that Denny Hamlin has a clear problem with these young guys, and he just needs to stop playing, worry about his own agenda, because he don't. Obviously, everyone in NASCAR media continues to talk about him as, you know, the best driver right now that does not have a championship to his resume. You know why? Because either he chokes on the pressure or he has different agendas for this team. And I just have nothing else nice to say about Denny Hamlin. This makes him look like a complete coward in my books, and this it just need to stop. I am pissed at what I'm reading and what I'm reading right now on social media and things like that, because Bubba deserves better. He made a mistake, I get it, but to cut him off on other activities that you're with, that's kind of foolish to me, if you ask me. Now, I know, I get sometimes everyone has their misfits, you know, you not talk to each other for a week and whatnot, and that's fine with that. Even sometimes here and there, I might not be happy throughout the day with somebody, and then next day I'm gonna try to work with you. We all have those days, right? But here, with NASCAR being the longest season, and Denny Hamlin taking Bubba Wallace off the golf team, not only that, and taking him off the basketball team, really? I mean, but other than that, I mean, I'm having a hard time trying to say the nicest things, but I will say this. But Denny Hamlin, you know, he's got to, you know, tighten up a little bit. He's going to have a chance this year to be a part of that championship four. He has all his aspirations. He kind of has Austin Dillon a little bit. You know, this is going to be our chance. I'm going to do this. We have a chance to win a championship, whatnot. But when it comes down to it, this, you know, he had his chance last year to wrap that thing up at Phoenix. And it gets caught up in the Chase Elliott mess at Phoenix. And that's his fault right there. You know, his pit crew put him back there, and then, you know, Hamlin got frustrated and whatnot. And again, that's that same track where, you know, he blew a lead to Jimmy Johnson in 2010, I believe, and then lost the championship, spun out in Miami early in that race. We all know what happened there. Jimmy Johnson went on to win another championship. So there's that there. Denny Hamlin should have already won a championship, but you state the facts. The facts are clear. He ain't won a championship yet, and he's trying to set boundaries with these young guys. I mean, you got to have a better agenda than that if you're going to continue to be a contender, and not only that, not let the things distract you from that and have personal agendas. That's what I think is going on right now, and I'm out of touch a bit more based on that. I'm going to leave it what it is. But I'm starting to lose a little respect for the guy, you know. So, I mean, this is going to continue on. And Bubba Wallace had a little press conference before opening practice saying that this has grown. It hasn't grown closer. It's grown even further than what it was. So Bubba's doing everything he possibly can to apologize. Say, hey, look, man, I think Bubba Wallace is the bigger man right now. And Denny Hamlin is running away from the situation. He's a little punk for what he's doing right now. And that's all I have to say for that. Chase Elliott, Georgia man, running in his hometown this weekend. Of course, I'm from Georgia as well. So Chase Elliott, you know, Atlanta Motor Speedway early in his off season gave Chase Elliott a good luck send off at the track, so Chase Elliott was back in the field a little bit in the opening practice session, all the way down here at 29th. So not a good start for Elliott, but of course we have a long ways here to go in the weekend, but not a good start either. That's worse than Austin Dillon. But the way that Chase Elliott raced last year in the playoffs, you would have thought he'd be up there a little bit. William Byron is a little surprised, but Byron is not a shocker to me the way he tested at Vegas. So still a long way, and we still got qualifying here, so we'll see what the 9 team does there as well. So a lot going on for Chase Elliott, and not only for him, David Ray, and also from Georgia as well. So a lot going on the track, and I actually here to keep an eye on three. I don't have a three to keep an eye on, but I do. Again, we know where I'm interested in Truex, what he does. Austin Dillon coming off that win. Darrell Wallace Jr. looking good early on. And the Toyotas seem to be backed up a little bit here. Of course, Denny Hamlin leads the Toyota Brigade, was sitting there in sixth in the opening practice session. Kyle Busch was in mid-pack as well. So, again, some of these guys keep an eye on throughout the weekend. I will not pick a winner this weekend. I'm going to let that situate itself on Sunday. But the Stenhouse and Kyle Larson, a name that we shouldn't be forgetting, because Kyle Larson, he was fastest in that Vegas test, and he came all out with his chest out, saying we found something, telling basically the competition we found something in practice in the test, and we all know the 42 is going to be up there. He was in contention in this very race last year before he got passed, making a mistake, trying to protect the line. I believe we tried to protect the low line, and Keselowski went around him. And that cost Larson the victory, and Keselowski put it in the bank. So, Kyle Larson, yes, keep your eyes on him. And everyone's saying, you know, he's a threat homestead. We're a long ways from that right now. But, like I keep on saying, questions will be answered about him here beginning on Sunday afternoon again. Once again, the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 going to go down. I believe it's going to be on Fox, if I'm not mistaken. It should be on Fox. Again, check NASCAR.com, check MRN for times for that race. But I do know the time. It's going to be 2 p.m. Central Time and 1 o'clock Central right here in the Midwest States. So, looking forward to a good race on Sunday, and a lot of storylines are starting to heat up in a rivalry on the track, which I know shouldn't really be a rivalry, but it is now, according to Bubba Wallace, between that 43 and the 11. And of course, yes, the points leader. Before I shut this thing down for the afternoon, Brian Blaney, the great speed weeks that he had, is your points leader. Of course, Blaney won the duel a couple weeks ago, and that one, of course, winning the duel, gave him 10 points along with a strong run. Blaney, coming off a 116 lead lap performance, couldn't close the deal in the 500 again, and he leads the points by 8 over his teammate Joey Logano, and I believe Austin Dillon, I think, is sitting third, Wallace fourth, or if that's the other way around, I can't remember right now, but I believe that's the right ordering order, with Austin Dillon, winning the 500, and Wallace is sitting there in fourth spot. So very, very intrigued to see what Bubba does this weekend. He's been one of his better racetracks at Atlanta in the Cup car. And oh, by the way, it's his first race in the Cup car there. So we'll see how the 43 does. We'll see how the 3 does. We'll see how some of these guys that we're used to seeing up front can do up here. But we have some big names after that first practice, like Elliott, Kyle Busch, Harvick was there at one point. Some of these guys struggling right off the truck to begin the weekend. So other than that, Atlanta's going to be interesting. And we're going to start to see who's going to be the players here early on in 2018. Ladies and gentlemen, folks, that's going to wrap it for the EG3 show this week. And again, stay tuned after the weekend for our reaction pod, my reaction podcast. Yes, it'll be probably be done either Sunday night or Monday afternoon at some point. I'll have a reaction. It will go up Monday night. You want to stay tuned. Keep your eyes open to Audio Boom, Spotify, and SoundCloud for more. But it's going to be interesting, folks. So, can Austin Dillon go make it two in a row? We'll see if somebody else catch Victory Lane and Xfinity and Cable World doubleheader tomorrow afternoon. Who's going to cash in, put it in the bank, and get the checkered flag? But for right now, we're going to sign off for right now. My name is Eddie Greer III, saying thank you once again for listening to the EG3 show. All about NASCAR, Atlanta weekend, here we come, and qualifying later on tonight. Who's going to grab that pole? Hey, we're looking forward to another one of these Atlanta races. Once again, down to the wire. Right now, EG3 show, we are rolling out. We'll talk to you on the Reaction Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.